What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. However, this is something different. Brand new year, brand new show episode. This is the first edition of The Headlines. Now, if you're new, first and foremost, I want to say thank you for listening. But what The Headlines is it's a weekly gaming news show, part of Bleep Bloop. It'll air every Friday on all podcast platforms. Now, previously, Headlines was a video show that I did on YouTube. However, due to time constraints and other competing responsibilities and tasks, I decided to make it audio only. So it accompanies the Bleep Bloop episode, which is still the weekly audio podcast about video game topics, water cooler topics, those conversational things like mouse and keyboard versus controller, you know, which open world game is the best of all time, you know, my top 10 favorite gaming soundtracks, which, by the way, these are all episodes you can check out. Go to bleepbloop.com for the podcast episodes. You can also check out exclusive videos and blog post on my website. In addition to that, make sure you subscribe to the podcast for all the latest episodes covering gaming topics, gaming news. New episodes are going to be on Mondays for Bleep Bloop and on Fridays for The Headlines. Subscribe to YouTube as well to check out game reviews, but if you want to check out some of my previously released gaming content, then make sure you go there as well. Join the Bleep Bloop podcast community on X to get community-only posts and updates. So I might drop some exclusive stuff there first before it comes out anywhere else. So make sure you join the community over there on X. Go to Bleep Bloop on Twitch. This is something that I really didn't even announce. You're getting it here first. For gameplay only. So games that are in review, you'll be able to check out the gameplay. You know, maybe you just need some white noise while you're doing some work. Well, that's what it is. Here's the catch. There's no chat. There's no camera. It's just gameplay. I want to play my games. However, I figure might as well create some additional content while I'm out there doing it. Coming soon, we're going to be doing the Discord, a way to incentivize people to want to watch and conversate. You join my Discord where you'll be able to chat with me anytime I'm playing games live, as well as I'll do Q&As there from time to time. And the Patreon, I'm updating it so you can support the podcast and catch patron-only content there, as well as maybe I'll do live Q&As or behind-the-scenes stuff. So, you know, it's just an additional way to provide support to Bleep Bloop. Let's get into this. All right, so taking a look back at this month, there were quite a few headlines. We're not going to go over every single one, but we are going to just give you the quick spiller. Square Enix's president said it will be aggressive in applying AI. Star Wars Outlaws will be released in late 2024, according to a Disney post. CD Projekt Red is not interested in being acquired. The Xbox Series S toaster released this month, and an acclaimed Xbox game was set to go multi-platform sometime this year. That game, of course, now it was found out, is going to be Hi-Fi Rush. There was also at CES Gravity Rush film footage that was shown, and the Xbox and Bethesda Developer Direct event was confirmed for January 18th and did take place. They showcased the new Indiana Jones game, more gameplay footage of Avowed, and Hellblade 2 as standout titles. Twitch laid off 500 employees, and Alan Wake came to Dead by Daylight later in the month. Infestation Origins turns Steamboat Willie into a four-player co-op nightmare after the IP went into the public domain. Silent Hill 2 remake is seemingly confirmed for 2024 with a new PlayStation trailer. Some reviewers at IGN played Suicide Squad, Killed the Justice League, and did not like it. Supermassive Games Until Dawn is getting a movie adaptation, and Rocksteady co-founders started a new studio. Those were some of the headlines for January. But the major headlines that we are going to talk about are Pow World layoffs and the Xbox Indiana Jones game that's coming most likely next year. So if you've been living under a rock, then you would obviously not know about Pow World. But Pow World is a game that released this year in early access and has went from a dud to essentially an overnight sensation. It is described as Pokemon with guns and crafting and survival. But from a little bit of firsthand experience of playing it, I got the vibe of it's almost like, yeah, like a crafting Minecraft game with Pokemon elements, a little bit of some Zelda themes in there, sprinkled with a little bit of Fortnite. So it's kind of all in one, but it definitely is a survival game. Pow World launched, and up to this point, as of 2 days ago, has sold over 8 million copies. Additionally to that, on the Steam charts, it is said to have over 2 million concurrent players. That is absolutely insane. Nintendo, because everybody was wondering, well, this looks a lot like Pokemon. What's Nintendo going to say? Pokemon released a statement that went in to say, "We have received many inquiries regarding another company's game released in January 2024. We have not granted any permission for the use of Pokemon intellectual property or assets in that game. We intend to investigate and take appropriate measures to address any acts that infringe on intellectual property rights related to the Pokemon. We will continue to cherish and nurture each and every Pokemon and its world and work to bring the world together through Pokemon in the future." In other words, we're going to take a look at it. We're going to investigate it. And a lot of people speculate that if this was an exact ripoff, if Nintendo felt that way, they would have came at them probably a long time ago. They probably wouldn't have allowed them to make the money that they made. Now, there is a conspiracy theory to that, which is they're just getting their ammunition. They're just letting the ammunition build so they can reap some benefits from the earnings that this game has received. What do I think? I mean, in all honesty, it kind of looked like that at first. But once you start playing it, you can definitely see the difference. I mean, if you didn't know any better, you might think that the monsters in that game are Pokemon monsters, but they're not. They're their own creatures. They do have some similarities, but they're different for the most part. For me personally, I didn't jump onto the hype. You know, I'm not one of those gamers that jumps on every hype train that there is when games come out. I do love and appreciate the effort that people put into their games, but I'm not the type that's going to just jump into every single game because everybody talks about it. If it's something I'm genuinely interested in, yeah, I'm going to try it. And in all fairness, I did try the game. The things I didn't like, and understandably it's early access, is you immediately land. It doesn't really give you any story until you come and encounter a person that kind of tells you some stuff. There's tasks that you have to do, and you don't really know that you have to do these other things. So the one thing that stands out to me is you have to get what's called, I think it's called like a pal sphere, and that's essentially what you use to catch your pals, like a Pokeball. It says to craft that. Well, you can't craft that until you make a bench. But then when you get the bench, you have to unlock the recipe. Well, it doesn't specifically state that you have to do that. So in my head, I was like, okay, these are the resources I need. Just get the resources, and then I should be able to craft it, right? Wrong. So then I spent a whole bunch of time trying to figure that out. Then, you know, I started to realize, okay, I obviously need materials to make things. So that was something I didn't really anticipate. I figured, you know, you got to get a couple things, boom, set up a base. This is just some additional stuff you can do, but you can kind of go and explore on your own. You don't really need to do these things right away. That wasn't the case. It kind of sets it off like like Minecraft. Like, you have to do things in order to survive, right? In order to play or beat the game. There was that was frustrating. Other things were when it got cold, unless you have a shelter, you're going to get cold because you're literally walking around with just some scraps on. And because it was nighttime, I made a fire, but I didn't have the materials to go and build my shelter. So I couldn't stay warm or hypothetically sleep, which I don't even know if I could do. So that those are just little things that kind of frustrated me. And there were no prompts to kind of guide you along to say, hey, you need to do these things or there's adverse effects. Like, at least just an initial prompt would have been great. Now, I get it. It's early access. So maybe they're going to add those things in later. They just kind of wanted to see how do people feel about the world, the actions taken. And I mean, it looks beautiful, right? But there's also other things that I don't like. And maybe this is something I'm being picky about. But I've noticed in quite a few games, like, game mechanics seem like they're being taken for granted. They're just not being emphasized. Like, my guy was climbing up a wall and he didn't even look like he was grabbing onto the wall. And again, the game is early access, so you're going to encounter those things. But I feel like this isn't the only game that I've seen that in. This isn't the only game that I've seen where gameplay mechanics, how you move, how you traverse, how you do things can start to break your immersion in the game. Never mind if it looks beautiful, if those things start to disrupt my experience, then it's going to make me not want to play the game. I can get why people are jumping onto this, especially people that are survival game enthusiasts. And I am a survival enthusiast to a degree. It just has to be the right type of survival game. But I think this game is here. It's going to make its mark. And it's probably going to go through a few iterations. I mean, if you look at what Fortnite did when it came out, once it hit that Battle Royale mode, it blew up. So this game blew up, and I think if this company's smart, they're going to listen to the community and make the changes necessary to make the community even bigger. And this will probably be around for a while. But more to follow on what happens with Nintendo. The next thing we're going to talk about, one of the major headlines, was layoffs within the gaming industry. They have been felt far and wide. Embracer was in the headlines through the end of last year, all the way up through this year. Still continuing layoffs, shutting down little studios that they owned or developers they owned. And Microsoft most recently just cut 1,900 workers, primarily from the Activision Blizzard section of its gaming department, for lack of better words. But this isn't just these sole companies. It's being spread across nationwide. On Wired.com, there was an article written by Megan Frockmanish, I apologize if I butcher the name. Mass layoffs are causing big problems in the video games industry. Layoffs rolled across the industry worldwide, knocking out a reported 6,500 jobs. Roughly one-third of developers were affected either directly or indirectly by job losses in 2023, according to new data released today by organizers of the Game Developers Conference, GDC. Each year, GDC polls attendees about issues facing the industry. From the current survey, they polled 3,000 developers from game studios large and small. According to the survey conducted in October 2023, 35% of developers were either laid off or had colleagues laid off at their companies. Of those layoffs, it was quality assurance workers who seemed to have been most impacted. 22% of QA workers said they'd been laid off in the last year. Only 7% of developers overall reported losing their jobs. Perhaps unsurprisingly, it's quality assurance workers that have been leading the union charge at companies like Activision Blizzard. So that is a telling statement right there. Quality assurance workers have been leading the union charge, right? So what I think is, I mean, I don't know, right? I'm not in the industry space that way. The way I would understand it is from a project management perspective. You have this project. We're going to create this podcast, and this is our timeline, and these are all the different departments that we need to emphasize efforts on. So we need to plus up our numbers for the team, so we need to employ more staff to facilitate getting this project done. In addition to that, we need to ensure the quality of the product. We need to test it. We need to do A/B testing. We need to focus on marketing. I think Once we get to the deadline, then we push out and deliver the product. Now those people that we plussed up are no longer needed in this space for this project because the project is complete. I think it's kind of the same way with games, right? So you got your developers, designers, you got your sound people, your marketers, then you got your testers, you got the people that make sure that the product is good, right? And I'm not justifying people losing their jobs, but I'm trying to just understand it. What it would seem to me is once the cycle is complete, the question that is asked is, how many of these people are absolutely necessary for continued operations and or the next project, should there be one? And if the answer is, well, X percentage is not needed, well, then guess what? Those people are going to be let go. And I also wonder if in these reports, if some of these people knew going into these jobs that they're in like a 1 year, 2 year contract. Maybe they're on a 3 year contract for development, for testing, for marketing, whatever the job is, right? If they're under a contract and they get laid off, your contract ended. So there should have been that assumption that it wasn't long term, you know, but if it gets reported, if they get rolled up into those numbers, I mean, at the end of the day, there's still people losing their jobs, right? But I would feel like if I'm going in under a contract, I'm going to want to fish for the next contract. So I roll right into the next job. And then that's the other thing that I feel like is underreported. How many of these people that lose that job actually took the time to roll into another job? You know, do any of the companies offer severance packages? Do any of the companies offer job placement? Like, I don't know. I would assume not. I do think that regardless, it is kind of frustrating because I know if it was me in a job where, you know, I'm doing something that I love, I'm being part of a team that, and I enjoy, it would be kind of frustrating. It would be very frustrating because now my livelihood has been affected. I did see something that somebody posted on X where they said, if profit margins keep increasing, how come worker retention is not increasing? It's absolutely true. You know, if you had a good team push out a quality product, I think some real analysis needs to be done to figure out who are the people we want to keep to make a long-standing team that can continue to make great quality products. And those are the people that are worth that paycheck, you know, and then the other people that maybe just didn't cut the mustard, for lack of better words, we appreciate your efforts, but, you know, maybe you should look somewhere else. I mean, that's just kind of how you could slice it, but it is frustrating. I'm sure this isn't the end of it. It's probably going to be more to follow. Okay, so as part of the Bethesda and Xbox Developer Direct, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle was revealed in a trailer. I mean, the likeness of Harrison Ford in the game with Troy Baker doing the voice acting, I will admit, was not on my radar. Like, I was like, okay, you know, it's going to be like Uncharted. Then I found out that developer Machine Games is the one that released the details about the Indiana Jones game after years of speculation. Machine Games created one of my all-time favorite video game series, and that's Wolfenstein. I love that game. That game is absolutely dope. And the storytelling in that game is amazing. First person, it's great. It's high-paced, a lot of action, very grand and spectacular. It made me think about going back and actually playing it again, if I'm being perfectly honest. So once I knew that they were behind it, I was like, okay, this probably is going to be something that I definitely am going to want to take a dive into. So developer Machine Games finally detailed the new Indiana Jones game after years of speculation with the project first teased by Bethesda all the way back in 2021. And this story is written by Josh West from GamesRadar.com. There's still a lot to learn about the game in advance of the Indiana Jones and the Great Circle release date. What is confirmed is that it's supposed to be releasing in 2024. However, most people are speculating that it's most likely going to be in 2025. So I would say more like the end of the year. The trailer did showcase beautiful visuals, varied puzzle design, and combat, which is authentic to how we've always seen the character portrayed in the films. For releases or platforms, it says it's one of the most anticipated Xbox exclusives on the horizon. It's set to release as a console exclusive for Series X and will be available on PC. I feel like this game will later down the line release to PlayStation 5 or the PlayStations. It's definitely going to be on Xbox. I'm looking forward to, because I just got my Xbox Series X, which is dope when you're playing on a 4K TV, by the way. The new Indiana Jones is also being built in close collaboration with Lucasfilm Games, all in an effort to ensure that the Great Circle is authentic to the ethos which have driven the wider franchise since it debuted in 1981 with Raiders of the Lost Ark. The game is also being developed in collaboration with Bethesda Softworks creative director Todd Howard, a lifelong fan of Indiana Jones, who has come aboard the project as an executive producer now that he has wrapped work on Starfield. To talk a little bit about the setting, they said it takes place between Raiders of the Lost Ark and the Last Crusade movies. It'll begin at the iconic Marshall College. Jones will get his hooks into a new mystery and find himself traveling the world, from the Vatican to the pyramids to the Himalayas and beyond. They also said, you know, it is first person, which, again, going back to my statement previously, with Machine Games behind this, I'm confident that it'll be good. It'll definitely be good. So I think this is great. I'm looking forward to it. I know I will play this. At first, I was not interested until I found out that Machine Games is behind it. So once I found out that they're behind it, I said, okay, we're going to give this a shot. So more to follow as this gets closer and closer. And who knows, hopefully we will be playing this before the end of the year. But I'm feeling like it's going to be probably 2025. So those are the major headlines of the month. I've already had you here for 20, 25 minutes. I want to close out with the news that was for this week, in addition to games that released this month, some of the notable titles. But another story that did kind of pop up, which I just found interesting, this one is from IGN, Rebecca Valentine. Microsoft becomes the second ever $3 trillion company after laying off 1,900 people. Microsoft has become the second company ever to achieve a $3 trillion market valuation, closing at the market cap for the first time today, just after it laid off 1,900 workers from its gaming divisions. This triumph of stock occurs on the same day that Microsoft laid off 1,900 workers from its gaming division, in some ways a massive ripple effect from the company's $69 billion acquisition of Activision Blizzard closing last year. Almost exactly 1 year ago, Microsoft laid off 10,000 people across all its divisions, including a number from its gaming divisions. In most recent earnings, released in October of 2023, covering the quarter ending September 2023, Microsoft reported $56.5 billion in revenue, up 13% year over year, and Xbox content and services revenue up 13% year over year. The company is expected to release its full year earnings for 2023 next week. They're making more money, they're valued at an all-time high, and they're still cutting people. Some people have said this is what you expect in the tech industry, and with all these huge acquisitions of gaming publishers and companies, is this the new norm for the gaming industry, and is it a culture shock because this wasn't the case, you know, years back? So it's just kind of telling that this company bought this big publisher and this merger, acquisition, whatever you want to call it, and cut quite a few people. Will job numbers go up when new projects get announced? Are they going up currently, so more people are getting hired? This next story is from Game Rant. Striking Distance Studios, the developer behind Callisto Protocol, is working on a new unannounced game that would be built in Unreal Engine 5. The disappointing release of the Callisto Protocol led to the founder and CEO of the company resigning and layoffs last summer, but the studio is not dead. The new project has been confirmed through job postings on the company's website, but no official announcement or details have been released. Fans of the studio should stay tuned for upcoming news. And then there was a post from an individual on X. Striking Distance Studios is hiring for, quote, a brand new unannounced UE5 title. Studio has 9 positions available, including lead animator to create, quote, the most dynamic and engaging player and enemy experiences. The Krafton-owned studio launched Callisto Protocol in 2022. Now, they don't really talk about what the game is going to be, what genre it is, when it's releasing, anything like that, but they are working on another title. Curious to know if they go the sci-fi alien horror route or if they go a different direction. Me personally, I didn't hate Callisto Protocol. I enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't really like the game loop. I thought the game loop could have been worked on a little bit. But I mean, graphically, it was beautiful. The gameplay mechanics, so movement, your combat actions were decent. I think there could have been a little bit more of a wider net cast on your abilities and what you can do and your combat skills. But I think overall, I think there could have also been a little bit of a variety of the enemies that you do encounter. I think the environments were amazing, the variation of them. I think the soundtrack and the sound design was phenomenal. And I did like that this was a precursor to potentially a trilogy of games or a series that had the potential to, you know, lead the way forward in a new story. Unfortunately, it didn't fare well in most people's eyes, so don't honestly think they're going to make another Callisto Protocol, but maybe they're going to make something similar that they were trying to shoot for. So who knows, but I just thought this was an interesting story to share. This next story comes from Video Games Chronicle. Epic says Fortnite will return to iOS in the EU this year via a new Epic Game Store app. But Epic says it will continue to claim Apple is, quote, breaking the law. This was posted by Chris Skouyan. In a tweet posted on the official Epic Games Newsroom account on X, the publisher said the game, quote, will return to iOS in Europe in 2024, distributed by the upcoming Game Store for iOS. It's not yet clear whether this includes the UK, since the law change was an EU one and the UK is no longer part of the EU, or whether Epic plans to pay Apple the new fee it has announced for alternative app stores. The article goes on later to say Apple has demanded that apps downloaded more than a million times a year must pay it 0.50 euro for every download over a million, meaning developers will owe Apple 500,000 euro, which is about 542,000 US, for every million downloads after the first million. Unless this situation changes, then it appears that even if Epic was to release Fortnite on iOS devices through its own Epic Game Store, its popularity means it may still have to pay Apple millions of dollars under Apple's terms. In an earlier tweet today before the Fortnite announcement, Epic Games CEO and co-founder Tim Sweeney said, quote, Apple's plan to thwart Europe's new Digital Markets Act law is a devious new instance of malicious compliance. They are forcing developers to choose between App Store exclusivity and the store terms, which will be illegal under DMA, or accept a new, also illegal, anti-competitive scheme rife with new junk fees on downloads and new Apple taxes on payments they don't process. In this day and age, it's all about the mighty dollar, right? You know, in all fairness, when you can control how people are able to get their content, I mean, what do you do? You know, do you decide to try to develop your own iOS online store to be able to do it yourself? Do you just play ball and pay the fees? You almost got to think, would it have been better to go to Apple, go to the table and try to negotiate, especially now with the popularity of Fortnite? I mean, maybe they could have did something collaborative, could have been partners, you know, like for some of y'all, if you live in Europe, you'll be able to get Epic Games on iOS in Europe. Sorry, US. And the last story of this episode is from Games Radar. This was written by Dustin Bailey. Long rumored Zelda world at Universal Studios seems like a sure thing after a hastily deleted video of series producer Eiji Onuma. And I apologize if I'm butchering the name. A hastily deleted video posted at a Universal Studios Instagram account for employees shows Zelda series producer Eiji Onuma overseeing some sort of construction at the park, prompting a whole lot of speculation that the long-rumored Zelda expansion to Super Nintendo World is finally underway. The video itself is long gone, but the image of Onuma standing right next to Zelda godfather Shigeru Miyamoto at a construction site in a safety gear was quickly preserved online. There's no context for the video now, but according to those who saw it before it disappeared, it's about the construction of the upcoming Epic Universe expansion of the Universal Studios theme park in Orlando, Florida. One of the rumors dates back to a late 2020 report from Orlando Park Stop, which suggested there were plans for a Legend of Zelda area to replace the existing Lost Continent attraction at Universal Orlando. Portions of Lost Continent closed back in May 2023 as Universal made way for some exciting new experiences in the area. I think that's cool, and I mean, it makes sense, you know, when you got Super Mario World or Super Nintendo World, whatever it's called, I still haven't been in all honesty, but when you have that, it would only make sense to do Zelda, and then eventually you see Kirby, then, you know, you Donkey Kong, like, you start to see all these staples of the Nintendo world, right? The Nintendo franchise. Eventually, you see probably Pokemon. You probably see, what's another big one? Metroid. You know, you see all these big games that are under the Nintendo umbrella. So it's a Nintendo world, essentially, within Universal. So, I mean, that's cool for fans. You know, I think it's really great. It'll be interesting to see what it looks like. I think it's speculative right now, but most likely it's going to happen. So we'll just have to wait and see what it looks like and get to watch all the videos of people doing tours about it. The last little bit are games that released this month. Now, if you know as well as I do, you know there are tons of games that release every month. I mean, I think Steam had added something like 14,000 new games in 2023 or something like that. So there's just games constantly coming out. But notable games that were released this month were Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, which I'm currently playing right now, The Last of Us 2 Remastered, Tekken 8, and Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. And those actually just dropped at the time of this episode being released. So on the 26th of January. So those are definitely games that I am diving into. I'm currently playing Prince of Persia Lost Crown. Just got done with Like a Dragon Gaiden. So I definitely plan on going into Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth after Prince of Persia. Or I may do Tekken 8 real quick and then do Like a Dragon, because I know those games are a little longer. But regardless, stay tuned to my YouTube channel, where you will definitely be able to check out the reviews of those games. I want to thank all of y'all for listening to this episode. I enjoy it. Enjoy bringing you this content. Make sure you go to my socials. If you're not sure what socials to follow, just go to bleepbloop.pod.com. I got my banner there with all of the socials at the bottom of the page. I'm really active on X, have a Facebook page. Go to YouTube, follow and subscribe to the YouTube channel for the reviews. Check out the content. Make sure on whatever podcast platform you listen to, you rate and review the podcast. Leave some comments. Follow, subscribe. Once the Patreon pops up, I'll be dropping information about that so you can support it, and join the community on X so you can get some community exclusive content. All right. And until the next episode, y'all, peace.